All right, Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for these guys being here. Lord, it's a blessing to see each one. Lord, we pray that you would please just hone us in on your word today. Focus us, Lord. Help us to really get something individually from it. I know that your word has encouragement and correction and everything that we need in it, Lord. Help us to care about it and to take it seriously, Lord. And Lord, I pray you give me the right words and thoughts and spirit to get this across. Help the guys to understand it. But most of all, Lord, I pray you would be pleased by it. And not only the message preached, but God, help our reaction to it in our lives to be pleasing to you as well. And Lord, please speak to each guy. Their lives are important. Their decisions are important. And they matter. They matter to you, Lord. And I pray you would please help us to realize how vital this is for our lives, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Help us to hear your voice through the preaching in a powerful way that we'd never be the same, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. Guys, just from the jump, let me remind you that you are not a Christian because you grew up in a Christian home. That's a privilege. That's a great thing. But you're not a Christian just because you grew up in a Christian school or Christian home or because you go to a Christian school. Guys, you can go to church and not be a Christian, okay? And you can be a decent guy and pretty good overall and not be a Christian. But this is interesting to me. We'll get into some of these verses more as we go through. But at the end of verse 26, which is kind of the launching point, guys, it says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Guys, this is where the term Christian was invented, okay? This is where it originated from. This is the first time that the followers of Christ became known as Christians, and it's here in this place called Antioch in Acts number 11. Now, guys, the word Christian only comes up three times in the Bible. This is the first occasion. The second time is at the end of the book of Acts, where King Agrippa, Paul's trying to witness to him, trying to get him saved, and he says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." That's the second time where he's saying, "Yeah, you almost got me, Paul, but no, I'm not going to give in." And then at, I believe it's 1 Peter, it says, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." So it's saying, because of the difficulties or because of our stand for Christ, some difficulties will come, but he's saying, don't be ashamed of that. By the way, guys, we all need that, okay? Don't be ashamed when we get some pushback for living for God. It's going to happen. Our world is going more and more wicked. It's going more and more downhill, and we know about that. But guys, don't be surprised when sometimes we step on people's toes. Not that we mean to offend people, but just our stand for Christ. Our love for the Lord, it rubs people the wrong way. He's saying don't be ashamed because of that. But guys, this is a fascinating passage to me because these people saw something different in these followers of Christ. They named them Christians, I think, I'll mention this probably later, as probably a term of derision, kind of a ridicule of them. But guys, it's a great thing. Listen, you have the honor to be called a Christian. Listen, you know what we need to do though? We need to live in a light, live a in a way in our lives to be worthy of that name. Amen. Worthy of that name. That's what I want to preach on today. Worthy of that name. Guys, how you live Monday through Saturday, is it worthy of that name? Listen, Jesus saved you. He gave his life. He died on the cross. He shed his precious blood so that you could live, so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. So now you're on your way to heaven. But listen, do you live your life in a way that's worthy of that name? Listen, do people know that you're a Christian? Listen, when we give out these tracts, you know what it does? Not only does it give people a chance to get saved, it identifies who we are. And that's a good thing. Guys, when you're coming to church on a Sunday morning, that identifies who you are. That has a part of it. You carrying your Bible and not be ashamed. Kevin, when you're walking out of your house today to the church van, that identifies who you are. That's a good thing, guys. By the way, if you're able to dress up, I see some of you guys doing that, that's a good thing. That identifies who you are. We're not ashamed of this. Listen, you're going to watch your favorite team play, you're going to wear some apparel that has their logo on it. Why? Because you're not ashamed as a fan. Listen, we should not be ashamed as Christian, but I hope that, guys, in our lives, we live our lives worthy of that name. Paul mentions something very similar to this in the book of Ephesians. He says in Ephesians 4:1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, as a prisoner of God, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know what he's saying? You bet you have a high calling. You're a new creature now. He's saying you have all these new things that have happened to you in your life. You know what he says? Walk worthy. You know what that means? Live up to it. Live up to it. Guys, every day. Hey, when you're at work tomorrow, when I'm at work tomorrow, when you guys are at school this week, are you living up to what you've been called to do? You say, well, Tom, that's hard. I know. But God will give you the power that you need to help you day in and day out. Guys, are you living in a way that's worthy of that name? Let's get into this passage, and I want to show you a couple of things. Now, why? Guys, I want to say this before I give you the first point, though. Who was it that said this? Guys, this was not the Christians, Bruce, calling themselves Christians. Amen. You know what name we should have? We should have a cool name we come up with. That way everybody will know who we are. We'll brand ourselves, and you know, we'll really get our name out there, and you know, everybody will know about us because we got this cool buzzword name. That's not what happened. You know who was calling them Christians? The unsaved people. The people that didn't care about God called them Christians. Let's dive in, and I'll give you this first thing. Number one, because of the distinctive routine. Because of the distinctive routine. I'm going to run through a couple of these verses here, guys, and you'll start to see where we're going with this. Verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, they traveled to these different places. They're preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, speaking to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Guys, listen. There was a distinctive routine. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. There's some things that we do differently than anybody else around us, and it sets us apart. It identifies us. It tags us as something different than everybody else. That's a good thing, guys. Listen, don't run away from that. Embrace that and appreciate that. That's important. First of all, about this, the precise moment, it's talking about some of these people. It's talking about some that were traveling around and they're soul winning, they're preaching the gospel. But verse number 21, it's talking about these people believing. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Can I tell you, that's the precise moment they got saved. Guys, I started out by saying you can grow up in a Christian home, your mom and dad can be Christians, but yet that doesn't make you a Christian, okay? You can go to a Christian school. Monday through Friday, you can be at a Christian school. That doesn't make you a Christian.
Right.
You can come to church, and it's a good thing, but that doesn't make you a Christian. And you can be a good guy and a decent guy and not do all the crazy stuff the world does and not be a Christian. You know what you have to do? You have to believe in Jesus for yourself. It says they believed and turned unto the Lord. Do you remember when you did that? Listen, do you remember when you did that? For some of you, maybe it wasn't long ago. For others, maybe it was years ago. But guys, do you remember that day that you turned to the Lord and you got saved? Guys, that's the most important decision that you ever made in your entire life. Guys, don't forget about that. That's the precise moment. That's when you became a Christian. That's when you started following Christ. When you got your sins forgiven. When you got your sins washed away. When your destination was turned from hell to heaven. Guys, your whole life changed at that precise moment. Maybe it was in a church service. Maybe somebody knocked on your door. Maybe somebody was talking to you out in your neighborhood and they gave you a tract and they witnessed to you. I don't know when it was. Maybe it was a bus. Maybe it was a van. Maybe it was a class like this. But guys, do you remember that precise moment that you got saved? Guys, that's a crucial time. That's a crucial time. Never look down on that. Never get over that fact that that was an amazing miracle that God did for you when he saved your soul. I'm thankful for that, guys. I'm so thankful for that. But you know what comes along with that sometimes? Verse number 19, it says they were scattered abroad upon the persecution. Listen, after Stephen was a can't think of the word, deacon, there we go. He was a deacon in the early church of Jerusalem, and he got stoned back in chapter 7. Guys, when that happened, the Christians had to spread out and scatter everywhere because of the persecution. Can I tell you, though, when you get saved, yes, that's the greatest moment of your life, guys, but there's gonna be some persecution at times. Now, we don't face it on a high degree most of the time in our country, but guys, you know what? Sometimes you're going to get out of track. Ethan, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to look at you. What are you doing? No, I don't want that. You know, can I invite you to my church? I don't want to go to your church. And guys, we have to feel some of that. There's some pushback. And in 1 Timothy, it says, listen, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And by the way, listen up, guys. That verse that I just quoted to you, it says, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what that's saying? That's saying if you make a decision to stand for God, then you will get some pushback. Okay? It does not say that every Christian is going to be persecuted or every Christian is going to have a hard time. It's saying those that are trying to live godly. Are you trying to live godly? Say, why would I do that if there's going to be persecution and pushback? Because it pleases God. Because it puts him first and it shows him that you love him. So that precise moment they got saved, their life changed and everything happened that was different now. But then there's some persecution. There's some pushback that goes along with it. Guys, that's part of the territory. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't back down from that. In verses, at the end of verse 19, it talked about they preached the word to none but the Jews. Only at the end of verse 20, it says they spake to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Excuse me. Guys, they were preaching the word of God. They were telling other people about the Lord. Listen, guys. Can I tell you that's still our job today?
Yeah.
That's still our job today. And that's not just talking about in this setting that somebody gets up behind the pulpit and preaches. You know what that's talking about mostly? That's talking about giving out those tracts. Mm-hmm. That's telling people, hey, can I invite you to my church? And telling them about Jesus, that he died for our sins and that he'll forgive anybody that trusts in him. That's really what it's talking about. Guys, that's our job. Listen, that's not just the job of the pastor, the deacons, and the leadership of the classes and the bands. Listen, that's every single one of our jobs. Listen, yes, we're highlighting this to try to get you guys to give out tracts and to get it, encourage you in that process. But can I tell you, whether you're the guy that's supposed to give out the tract this week or not, all of us should be.
Right.
Yeah. All of us should be. Whenever we get those opportunities, listen, I challenge everybody in the room. You want to do something for God this week? When you go to the back of church today, that track rack, grab some tracks, put them in your pocket, and wherever you go this week. Listen, it may be somebody walking down the street. It may be somebody in the store. It may be a cashier. It may be somebody at the gas pump. It may be somebody anywhere. Can I tell you, most all those people need the gospel? Listen, only a small percentage of people know the Lord in our country. We need to get the gospel to everyone that we can. And listen, we're not going to do that if only a small portion of the church is getting after it. We need everybody. The precise moment they got saved, the persecution, they were preaching. You know, guys, why I'm bringing these things up, though? These are things that are distinctive of us, this distinctive routine. Listen, these are things the world does not do. They're not going to face persecution. They don't trust in the Lord, and they're not going to be preaching and telling other people about the Lord. Verse 23 is talking about Barnabas now. Barnabas was an encourager, and they sent him out. They saw some people getting saved and coming to the faith, and they sent him out to encourage them. Verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And before that, guys, it talked about that he was sent out from that church. You know why he was sent out from that church? To help those people? Because they cared for these new Christians and they had pity on them. They had concern. Hey guys, you know some things that should be distinctive of us, that we care for people. We care for people's souls primarily, that where they go whenever they die. But number two, we should care about people. Guys, do you have anybody that you pray for, that you go to God on their behalf and you pray and care for them and say, Lord, I need you to help this person? It may not affect you directly.
Right.
But guys, do you pray for other people like that? Hey guys, this should be distinctive of us. Guys, the world doesn't care about other people. They care about themselves, me. That's all they care about. Right. My money, my stuff, and they don't care about anything else. Guys, as Christians, we should be the total opposite. Why? Why? I'll get to this later. But you know why? Because that's how our Savior is.
Yeah.
That's how our Savior is. Listen, he didn't come to this earth to die because he had nothing better to do. He didn't come to this earth to die because he wanted to check out the planet that he created from up close. He didn't just want to get a break from heaven for a while. Guys, he came to this earth. Why? Not for his own sins, because he didn't have any, but for our sins. Mm-hmm. It was our problem, and Jesus took care of it for us. Why? Because he cared. And he had concern. Listen, they sent Barnabas out to encourage these people because they cared for them. Guys, do you have anybody that's on your heart that you say, you know what, I could help them. I could pray for them. I could disciple them. I could teach them. I could help them out in this area. If we don't watch it, we can also get very selfish and just say, I just got to take care of me. I got my routine, my stuff, my schedule, my things to do, my money, my job, my school, blah, 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 and not care about anybody around us. That's not pleasing to the Lord, guys. That's not how He wants us to be. And I get it. I get it. I understand. We've got things to do. We stay busy a lot of times, guys. But you know what? The Lord wants us to care for other people and make a difference in their lives as a result of it. So they had pity on them. And I like this in verse 23, which I read to you. It says, as Barnabas goes out to these people that were getting saved and becoming a part of the church now, it says he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You know what he's doing, guys? He's telling them to be persistent. He's saying, stay at it. Hey, guys, can I remind you today? Be persistent. Stay at it. Don't let up. Don't let go of the decisions you made. Stay at it. Guys, many of you, you've been making some good steps. You've been growing. You've been progressing. That's awesome. But can I tell you, especially as we head into the summer months, don't let off your Christian life. Don't get lazy now. Oh, man, I had a good last couple months in my Christian life. That's great. But just because you're not going to Christian school over the summer doesn't mean you don't need to be a Christian over the summer. Mm-hmm. You still need to read your Bible. Hello? You still need to pray. You still need to give out tracts. You still need to live holy. Guys, just because your teacher is not going to be on your case Monday through Friday doesn't give you the right to watch dirty, nasty TV shows and click on stuff and listen to music that you know is not pleasing to God. It's still important. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to beat you up, but I am telling you it's important. Be persistent. You know what he's saying? That you got to do this with purpose of heart and cleave unto the Lord. Guys, if you've been growing all this time, if you've been progressing, if you've been doing better, cleave unto the Lord. Don't give up. Have a purposed heart. You know what he's saying? You have to do that on purpose. George, you got to do that on purpose. Anthony, you got to do that on purpose. Guys, you're not going to have a good summer by accident. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a godly summer by accident. Ethan, I'm not going to lead people to the Lord by accident.
Right.
It's not going to happen. I'm not going to learn my Bible by accident. It has to be on purpose, intentional. So guys, stick with it. And in verse 26, it talked about that when Barnabas met up with Saul, who we know later becomes the Apostle Paul, it says in verse number 26 that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. What is that talking about? That's talking about Barnabas and Saul went to church for a whole year as they lived there and as they're training and getting stronger. They went to the house of God. Hey, guys, are you going to be faithful to God? Are you going to be faithful to God in the coming months, over the coming years? Are you going to be faithful? There was a pattern in their life. They were faithful to the house of God. Guys, there is a distinctive routine that we have as children of God that other people don't do. Listen, other people don't go around trying to talk about people's eternity and talk and tell them where they're going to go when they die. Other people don't do that. The world doesn't care about that. They don't believe it exists, but we do.
Yeah.
We do, and that's important, guys. Are you a soul winner? That identifies us. Hey, guys, do you live holy? That identifies us. Hey, guys, when all the people around you are lusting after the girl, is your head going, are your eyes following it too, or do you look away?
That's good.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Guys, I was at a ball game on Friday night with some of my friends and the music blaring the whole time. Everybody's dancing and reacting to the music. Guys, we shouldn't do that as Christians.
Yeah.
You say, did you, Brother Tom? No. Okay. You're like, yeah, that question's in the back of my mind. I know how some of you are, all right? But listen, it shouldn't be that way. Guys, it should not be that way. Listen, and I know I've taken teenagers to those kind of environments. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't hear it. Yeah, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't want to react to it. But guys, as Christians, we need to be holy. Right. Can I tell you, if that music comes on and you start acting like a fool, check out my moves. Don't try to give anybody a track there because they already know that you're fake. Uh-huh. They already know that.
Yeah.
They already seen it. You displayed it for all those people around you.
Yeah.
With your nasty moves, all right? Anyway. Like they used to say as I was a teenager, I've seen better steps on a ladder. All right, that's an old one. But anyway, listen, guys, do you look away when those things come across? Are you not reacting to that music? Do you put that stuff out of your mind? By the way, I get it. And over the years, I've had people say, well, the song just gets stuck in my head. And I can't help it. You know, they're singing some worldly song. And I'm over here like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm about to give them a holy slap. You know, like, what are you doing? And no, the song just got stuck in my head. Can I tell you, you got to work to get that song out of your head, unstuck out of your head.
Right.
You know, Kevin, get the boards out and put it in drive and reverse and all that. I'm kidding. Yeah. You know how you do it? You replace it with something good.
Yeah.
And you have to do that on purpose. Guys, you have to do that on purpose. I get it. You know what's in my mind like 24/7 now? Kids songs. You know why? Because that's all I hear at the house, man. I got go to sleep going in my mind all the time, all right? But that's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. Listen, guys, whatever you're around, it will get stuck in your mind, but you got to get that stuff out and put something good in its place.
Mm-hmm.
Go to sleep is fine, just in case you want to know. It makes no sense. The baby's still awake and I'm getting tired. You know, I'm like, something's backwards here, you know? Help me out. Hey, guys, the way that you talk, does it present yourself as holy? I'm not talking about better than anybody, but guys, when they're talking nasty stuff, does it come out of your mouth too?
Mm.
Or do they say, George wouldn't say that.
Mm.
Bruce wouldn't say that. Kevin wouldn't say that. Aiden wouldn't say that. Guys, is it distinctive how you talk? Do you have a good attitude or a bad attitude? Do you honor your parents or not? Do you forgive people? Can I tell you, that's not an easy one. That's not an easy one. When people do you wrong, you're like, boy, I'm going to hold that grudge. It's going to be simmering on the back burner for years, buddy. And then when I have the chance to unleash on you, you're going to get yours. It's going to be bad.
Mm.
Can I tell you, we're not supposed to be like that as Christians.
Yeah.
You're like, right. Man, really? I don't like that. Guys, can I tell you, as Christians, we're not supposed to be like that.
Right.
We're supposed to forgive. Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Not yours, it's his. It belongs to him. If God wants to get them back, that's his business, but it's not ours.
Right.
Well, he did this to me, I want to get back at him. No. That's not the way we're supposed to be.
Amen.
And that's not easy.
Yeah.
But the crowd is watching us and they witness our conduct, guys. What are we supposed to be about? What are we supposed to be about? Just generally. You're supposed to please God.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to pattern yourself after the word of God. Read it, find out what it says, and try to live accordingly. And guys, ultimately, we're trying to be like the Lord. We're trying to personify him. You know what it should be? It should be like we want the Lord to control every step of our life. If Jesus were here on earth, we would want to be living just like he is right now, right? That's how we want to do it. And how do we do that? By finding out how he lived and asking him to strengthen us. Distinctive routine. Hey, guys, the stuff that you do, is it different from those that are around you? Is it different?
Yeah.
The stuff you listen to, the things that you say, the attitude that you display, is it different from the unsafe people around you? The distinctive routine. Point number two, the definite resemblance. Verse number 26. It says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. There was a definite resemblance. Guys, they recognized their behavior, like we've been talking about. They saw their actions. Like the Bible says, they let their light so shine before men that they may see their good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven. People saw what they were doing. Guys, we don't live for God to be seen of men.
Right.
But let me ask you, do people ever see what you do for God?
Mm.
Yeah, you don't do it for their attention. You don't do it for their applause. You don't do it for their recognition. But if you're serving God a lot, then it's just going to so happen to be that people see that. If you're doing what you should do, you don't do it for them. You do it for the Lord. But if you're serving God constantly, people can't help but see you serving God. And guys, not only did these people live for God, they stayed at it. They remained bold and they remained bright in serving God the whole time. This was not, Kevin, I don't think a week that went by, a month that went by. This was a long-term scenario. They watched them. They scrutinized them. The unsaved world, they're checking them out. They're different. They don't go here. They don't act like this. They don't react to our music. They don't lust after our women. What's going on with these guys? When people do them wrong, they forgive them. And guys, they said, this won't last. There was a guy years back that got saved in this church. And at his job, the guy said, yeah, I'll give you about a month. I'll give you about a month. You know what he's saying? You're going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to quit. It's just a matter of time. And man, I challenged that guy. I said, hey, don't prove that guy right. Prove him wrong. Why? Not because we're strong, but the Lord will give you the strength
Amen. You
need to stay strong. You know what the Bible says? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Guys, don't let off the gas. Don't back up. Don't let down. Don't take it easy now. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I said a minute ago, I want you guys to have a great summer living for God. You know how you can work at that now? Challenge yourself. What have we done the last couple of years, Ethan? I've challenged you, hey, read the whole New Testament, mm-hmm. right? And I've given him some incentive and say, go after this, and I've challenged him in different ways. Maybe that's not the challenge that you need, but what is the challenge that you need? Think about it. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what I want out of this class, a lot of you guys? I want to help you if any way I can. I want to see you lead your first person to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I want to see that. I want to see on a Sunday night when Pastor said, who led somebody to the Lord this week? Anthony, stand up. Aiden, stand up. Amen. Kevin, stand up. George, stand up. Bruce, I want to see that happen. I'm going to be over there. Boom. I'm going to be happy when I see that happen. Amen. Listen, but I want to help you with that. But is that your goal or is that, what are you going to do over the summer? Video games, sleep, snack, get fat. You know, what are your goals over the summer? See whatever is on TV. Even though I watched them same cartoons 72 times, I already know what SpongeBob's going to say. No, I'm just kidding. Some people need conviction right now, all right? I'm just kidding. But listen, is that going to be your summer, or is it going to be, you know what, I'm going to read this much of the Bible. I'm going to memorize this many verses. I'm going to lead one person to the Lord over the summer. I'm going to disciple my friends so that they grow into being a strong Christian. What's your goals? What's your goals? Guys, as we've said 100 times, if you have no goals, you'll hit all of them. Because if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Right? So go after something. But there was a definite resemblance. They recognized their behavior and they saw that they remained bold over time. Guys, go strong this summer. Go after it. And guys, I love this. It reminded them of someone before. Notice what this says. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. As we said, this is the first time this pops up. Now, guys, the word Christian means a follower of Christ. Those last three letters, I-A-N, on Christian, it means a follower of in Latin, okay? I-A-N means a follower of, and then you put Christ on the front of that. We are followers of Christ. Guys, what happened? The unsaved world looked at these people. They scrutinized them. They watched them over time. They saw how they behaved. They saw how they lived. They saw the attitude that they displayed over and over again. And you know what they did? They said, you know who this reminds us of, Kevin? This reminds us of Jesus Christ. Guys, the book of Acts, portions of it were written only about 10 years after Jesus ascended back to heaven. Hmm. So they saw him. They knew him.
Yeah.
Now, the whole book covers a span of time, 20 or 30 years. But portions of it were just a few years after he went to heaven. And some portions which we're in now were about 10 years after Jesus ascended back to heaven. Ethan, they had seen him. They had heard him speak. They still had that banging around in their memory. And guys, when they see the distinctive behavior of these people, they don't do this. They live holy. They live for God. They care about other people. They care about where they go when they die. They forgive people. George, they look at their lives and say, you know who that reminds me of? Jesus. Wow. Guys, that's the way we need to be.
Yeah.
That's the way we need to be. It needs to be in your school that when all the other guys are talking dirty and looking at things they shouldn't, that you live holy. And you know what? Somebody in that crowd looking at you would say, man, that reminds me of Jesus. Mm. That's the way it should be. Right. Does your life remind people of Jesus?
Yeah.
God help us. This is convicting because none of us are where we need to be. We can all grow. But you know what? I talked about we need to be soul winners. Guys, are you a soul winner? You say, why should I be a soul winner? Jesus was a soul winner. Mm-hmm. Hey, he went to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 at night, and he told him how he could be saved. And I believe later on, Nicodemus got saved because of that. John chapter 4, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. He finds the woman at the well, says you need the living water and all that. And he said, go call your husband. Oh, I don't actually have a husband. He said, you're right about that. You had five of them, and the dude you with now is not your husband. Calls out her sin, but eventually she gets saved and goes back to Samaria and says, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, the Messiah? She got saved. Right. Why she got saved? Because she just walked out, and Kevin, she just looked at the sky and the sun and said, I see a vision up in that. No, because a man cared for her. Amen. Where that she would go when she died. And you know who that man was? Jesus.
Amen.
He went out there, guys. He was tired. It was the hottest part of the day. He had been traveling on foot all day long. He goes to that place. He meets that woman. And guys, he went there for that specific purpose so that she would be saved. Hey, guys, do you ever go out on purpose saying, I want to see somebody saved? Mm. Hey guys, even on Jesus, George, even on Jesus' dying day, he's hanging on the cross and he leads the guy next to him to the Lord. Wow. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, to the thief on the cross. Mm-hmm. He let someone, I guess you could say to himself, the last day of his life. He's dying. Kevin, I don't know about you. If I'm dying, I don't know if I'm going to be much of a soul winner. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm not quite there yet. But if I'm dying, I'm not going to be like, hey, bro, where are you going to go when you die? You know, they're going to be like, dude, you're going to die a lot sooner than me. You know, listen, but Jesus, can you even imagine it? Anthony, I would be worried about the nails in my hands.
Yeah.
The crown of thorns shoved into my head. The nails through my feet, all the whipping and beating that I took, that's what would be going through my mind. You know what would be going through my mind? One word. Ouch! Sorry, I had to blow your ears out. But look, that's what would be going through my mind.
Yeah.
What would be going through my mind is, I don't deserve this. What would be going through my mind is, I can't believe I have to go through this. Guys, that's what would be going through my mind. Mm-hmm. You know what's going through Jesus' mind? Let me care about this guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to preach about the thief on the cross today. But who had insulted him beforehand? Did you know that? That thief on the cross that ended up getting saved? He was insulting him before, saying, if you're the king, why don't you come down? If you're the savior, why don't you save yourself? Ha ha ha! Hours later, his opinion changed of Jesus. And Jesus welcomed him and Jesus saved him that day. Hey guys, Jesus was a soul winner. Are you? Are you? Hey guys, Jesus, we know, lived holy. The Bible talks about Hebrews. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Hey guys, we know we won't be sinlessly perfect like Jesus. But guys, are we saying no to sin? Are we turning away from those temptations? Guys, let's just be real. If you see temptation coming up in your life, you need to get away from it. Guys, temptation is a fire. You stay close to it, it'll burn you up. We can't handle it. The Bible never tells us, stand strong in temptation. See how close you can get without doing it. The Bible never tells us that. You know why? Because we can't handle it. You listening? Maybe some of you need to hear this. Well, I can look at it. It doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. I can listen to it. It doesn't affect me. That's a lie from the devil, and you're believing it. Guys, don't give into it. When temptation comes, the Bible says, flee fornication. Get out of there. Don't hang around it. Don't see how much you can stand. You know, these stupid guys, I'm going to put the flame right next to my finger and see how close I can get. You know what I think? You're a dummy. That's what I think. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. You know, Kevin, it's starting to hurt now. But let me go a little closer. That's idiotic.
Yeah.
Dude, stop. Like, what are you thinking? Mm-hmm. I got some crazy stuff going through my mind. Let me continue on, all right? Guys, listen, when temptation comes knocking on your door, I wonder what your response is. Are you turning away from it? Are you trying to get away from it? Listen, Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And guys, I talked about we need to forgive, and that's not easy. Where do we get that from? Again, as he's hanging on the cross, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Again, Ethan, I don't know if that's what would have been the first thought that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, it would have had something to do with the people that were beating me and putting me up on the cross, but it would have been forgive them. It would have been get them, you know, just get rid of forget and get them, you know, just chop the word in half. Get them, God. Blow them up, Lord, in Jesus' name, you know, just do it now. That's what I would have thought.
Yeah.
He said, Father, forgive them. Guys, I can't even like, that's hard to even compute.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what? When people do us wrong and you're angry at them, and I understand it, you know what? Forgive them. Why? Because Jesus forgave them. Listen, guys, do you think he had the right to be mad? Yeah. It was unjust. He never sinned. Aiden, he never sinned, but yet he's being executed for his crimes. Wow. What crime? He never did anything wrong. But he forgave them. And guys, it reminded them of someone before. They identified it. They linked it. It was an unmistakable connection. You know what they said? George, I'm watching the way you're living. You know who that reminds me of? Jesus. Guys, that's a huge, that's a very powerful testimony. The distinctive routine, the definite resemblance. Point number three and last, the declared response. It says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. As I said, guys, because these people had an unwavering stand, these disciples, these Christians, they had an unwavering stand. They're saying, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to bow to the pressure. Guys, when you bow to the pressure, when you and I cave in to the pressure, you know what? It makes us give off mixed messages. People don't know where we stand. People don't know what we believe. The unwavering stand. Guys, do we have that strong stand? Listen, guys, if certain things are wrong, do we stand against them? If certain practices are wrong, do we stay away from them? Or is it kind of, well, let me decide in the moment? That'll get you in trouble if you try to decide in the moment. You'll mess up. This came from the unsaved sinners. Guys, this does not come from their church at Antioch social media account. They say, yeah, let's put ourselves out there. Let's get a cool name so everybody knows who we are. This is who we are. No, the unsaved people looked at them and say, you know who that reminds me of? Jesus. Do they see that at your school? Do they see that at your job? Do they see that in your neighborhood? Hey, guys, this is spinning it a different way, but does your family think of you as a good Christian?
It's good.
Your siblings, you're like, don't go there, Brother Sam. I went there.
Yeah.
Do your siblings think you're a good Christian? Or do they think you just put it on when you go to church? Boy, in church, that dude's the greatest Christian ever. At home, he's sorry. Is that the way it is? Let's work at that. I'm not saying it's easy. That's not easy. But you know what? I want it to be that my family thinks I'm a good Christian because I try to be one all the time. Yeah. Not that I'm perfect, but I try to be one all the time. The unwavering stand, it came from the unsaved sinners, and there was an undeniable statement from their life. They said, listen, these people remind us of Christ, and because of that, we're going to call them Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. I wonder. We know that we become Christians when we get saved and we accept Christ as our Savior, but I wonder, guys, if people would watch your life and say that's a follower of Jesus.
Amen.
I wonder. Yeah. I really wonder, Kevin, if you know, we would have the cameras follow us around for a few weeks if it would really say, man, that's a follower of Christ. Or if it would be like, I don't know. I don't have a clue. I hope not. I hope not. Let's be distinctive. Let's be different. I'm not saying it's easy, but we need to ask God to help us. And there's a unique status. Guys, it's an honor. It's a privilege. Listen, you are a Christian. You are called a Christian. Guys, that's a privilege. That's an honor. Guys, In a good way, we should be proud of that. Listen, when you walk out this week into the world, you're not like them. You're not on your way to hell. Guys, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're on your way to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. That's different. That's a unique status that you have. Be proud of that in a good way. Mm-hmm. Bible says, listen, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The moment you got saved, you became a child of God, and he gave you that power, that right, that ability, that authority to now be called the children of God. And one last verse. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hey, guys, do you know what an amazing privilege it is to be called a Christian? Guys, you, when you trusted Jesus, when you bowed your head, closed your eyes, and you sincerely meant what you said to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and repent of your sins. Guys, that was a big deal. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened in your life. Guys, do you live your life now worthy of that name? That's my question. Do you live your life now worthy of that name? Hey, guys, if you want to act like Jesus, we need to have good attitudes. If you want to act like Jesus, honor your parents. If you want to act like Jesus, hey, as I said, we shouldn't be reacting to the worldly music. If you want to act like Jesus, live holy now. Look away when the temptations come your way. Guys, if you want to act like Jesus, if you want people to say, man, that's a follower of Christ, because Kevin, let's be honest, when we're at the platform, we want everybody to think good of us. Mm-hmm. And that's fine in its place, guys. Mm-hmm. But you know, you got to earn that by how you live.
Right.
Because if we're saying you're lusting like a dog and you're listening to nasty stuff and all that, you're sneaking around and then, man, I want everybody to think well of me. I'm sorry. You blew it.
Yeah. Right.
You blew it. And you know whose fault it is? Not everybody else, because that's what we want to do. It's his fault, her fault, their fault, this random stranger's fault. This guy's over here like, I don't even know you. You know, we're finding anybody we can. It's his fault. It's our fault.
Yeah.
If we don't have that godly testimony, that's on us. Guys, do you live your life worthy of that name? I challenge you this week. Some of you guys about to get out of school, live worthy of that name this week. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. You go to public school this week, you're a Christian. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy, but the Lord's with you. He's with you, and he'll give you the strength that you need to live for him each and every day. Are you living worthy of that name? Let's bow our head.